Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Thursday, June 24th, a very warm day here in North Texas today. Before we go any further on the show tonight, I want to express my sympathies to the people of Miami for this terrible tragedy of the apartment building collapse. You know, I don't know anybody, or at least thankfully I can say I don't know anybody or have any family member that was directly impacted. But, you know, you never know. You never know if a friend of a friend of a friend of a friend or a relative of a friend, you know how that works. So I just want to express my very best to the people of Miami. I'm sure they'll figure this out. They've got good leadership down there, and the people are very solid, and they'll pull together. But what a terrible, terrible tragedy, this whole thing, and the numbers of people who've been impacted, it's pretty deadly. So anyway, my best and my prayers to all of our friends down in Miami. I know we have many down there who listen and read our blog. Well, the big story in Texas today is, of course, that the vice president is finally coming to Texas. But she's going to El Paso, which is, if you know anything about Texas geography, El Paso is all the way to the west. In fact, it's about 30 or 40 miles, if I remember from my – I drove down there one time, a couple of times. I think it's 30 or 40 miles from New Mexico. You drive on I-10 and you cross right into New Mexico. And, of course, the real problem with the border is on the other side of the state, which is like 600 miles the other way. And I think a lot of people down here are a bit, you know, we're wondering why is she going to El Paso when there's really nothing going on in El Paso. The problem is over here. And I think there's a couple of reasons that I think she's going to El Paso. Number one, she wants nothing to do with the border crisis. I think she understands, or she can smell a political loser better than anybody else. And I think she knows that this is a big political loser for her administration. So she doesn't want anything to do with it. She does not want to be photographed with Border Patrol people, with some of those facilities down there that are not, frankly, doing quite well. So this is, you know, she's coming down. She says she's going to come down to Texas. Okay, we're happy to have her, but she's going to the wrong place. She's going completely to the wrong place. That's not where we need her to be. We need her to be on the other side. So I know that a lot of the local politicians are criticizing her decision quite a bit to go to El Paso. As I said, we're happy that she's here. We're always happy to welcome the president or the vice president. But my gosh, this lady is, I'm beginning to think that she's a bit tone deaf because she doesn't seem to have a very good knack or very good political instincts. And I think going to El Paso is a good example of that. Now, the other reason I think she's going to El Paso is because Beto O'Rourke lives down there, and he probably wants to take a few photos with the vice president just in case he runs for governor. Now, I will tell Beto O'Rourke, give him a little advice for free. I don't think pictures with the vice president are going to help you a heck of a lot running for governor here in Texas. I can just give you that free advice. And whether you take it or not, it's up to you, but that's just the way it is. Well, the other big story, of course, is that there is apparently an infrastructure deal between the president and the Senate. And whether it comes together or not, I don't know. Whether they have the 60 votes in the Senate to make it happen, I don't know. The problem is that I think it all depends how big the darn thing is. $957 billion, I saw that figure, but then I saw another figure, $597 billion. And I don't know if it was a misprint, but I don't think $957 billion is going to fly. That's not going to fly. $597 billion, I think there may be enough Republicans to make it through the 60 votes. But 957, forget it. You know, we don't have the money right now. And with all the, you know, the threat of inflation and all the other money that has been spent and all the other things that have to be done, I don't think 957 would make it. 597, yes, I think that would probably make it okay, or at least you'll get enough Republicans to get your 60 votes and get it out of the Senate. But it's going to be a tough call either way, because we got to know what's in the bill, and that has not been publicly debated yet. And usually when these things get publicly debated, that's when a lot of the problems come in. Now, the president, of course, delivered a gun violence speech yesterday that was completely atrocious. It was a political disaster. He didn't look very good. In fact, he looked pretty bad, actually. He looked very tired and exhausted. I don't know. You know, he just went to Europe last week, and he is a 78-year-old man. He had been traveling the day before, so, you know, maybe they're pushing him a little bit too much. I don't know, but he didn't look real good. He had a lot of trouble reading the speech. He stumbled several times. And then the content of the speech was, frankly, quite bad. He didn't say anything, didn't give us any idea that he understood what the problem is. The problem is not going after gun dealers. That's not the problem. If there's a gun dealer violating the law, hey, take care of it. Take care of it. But that's not the problem. That's not the problem driving this. The violence here is being driven by the level of criminality that was tolerated in many of these cities. When you basically turn your back to the police and you don't support the police and you let the criminals run free, as has been happening in many of these cities, well, this is what you're going to get. So now these cities have become very dangerous, and now comes the other part of the problem, which is that, you know, businesses are leaving. They're not rebuilding. They're old businesses. If your business got burned down, you're not going to rebuild it, basically. That's what I'm saying. And then you have a lot of taxpayers who are moving out. So now these cities, first they have a crime problem, and now they're going to have an economic problem. And this is going to be very difficult for many of these cities because they cannot raise taxes, and they're not going to be able to get government or state governments to bail them out. I mean, many of these states have problems of their own. So I don't know what's going to happen, but certainly the president didn't touch on any of the real issues yesterday. And I have no idea. I still do not understand what he was trying to say when he said something about if you want to go after the American government or the U.S. government, you got to do it with F-15s and nuclear weapons. I have no idea what he was talking about. Maybe that was supposed to be a joke, but it obviously... If that was supposed to be a joke, nobody understood it that way. Nobody understood it that way. I mean, it just came across awfully stupid and completely silly on the part of the President of the United States to say that to the people. Hey, if you want to go after the government of the United States, you're going to have to use F-15s and nuclear weapons. I mean, that's pretty stupid. Pretty stupid. I mean, that's all I can say. So, you know, nothing much will come out of this speech. But I do believe, as I wrote, or I have a post about this coming out Friday morning, where I write that I think the biggest consequence of the speech is going to be that a lot of Americans are going to go out and buy some guns because they're going to realize that, hey, this government is not serious about protecting me. We're going to take a little break, and we'll be right back. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, Thursday, June the 24th. Well, here's a neat little story that I wanted to share with you. I just saw this. You know, I subscribe to Governor Abbott's newsletter or tweets or whatever, and I just got one. He just published one a few hours ago saying that Texas is now the ninth largest economy in the world. Now, I didn't get to read the whole thing because I had to do the podcast, so I didn't spend a lot of time reading it. I just saw the headline. So I'm assuming that the governor is talking about the GDP, okay, which is usually how you measure economies. You know, you look at the GDP, and that is amazing. It, you know, if we are now the ninth largest, if it is the GDP, and I'm pretty sure that it is, that means that Texas is now in the top 10 of the world's economies. That's an amazing statistic that I believe. Tells you a great deal of how attractive Texas is as a place to invest. Now you understand why so many people want to move here. Now, there's a downside to all these people moving here, unfortunately, and that is that it's driving up the cost of real estate. I mean, it is crazy, the cost of real estate in Texas just in the last 12, 18 months. And that, of course, is also impacting the rent for people who are renting. I mean, it's going to get pretty difficult in the Dallas area to find an apartment or a home for less than $2,000. I mean, unless you're lucky and you bought things years ago and you've got a reasonable mortgage or, you know, you've got a landlord that you can work with, I don't know how anybody can rent an apartment in the Dallas area, particularly the North Dallas area, when you get into Frisco and Plano and all of that. I don't know how you can rent anything for less than $2,000 and not a lot of room either. So it's going to have an impact, no question about it. But, of course, again, as I said, people are moving here like crazy. And that's a good thing, I guess, from the standpoint of our economy. It means a lot more taxpayers and businesses and jobs are coming in, which is good. But, man, it's the cost of real estate that I think is going to probably slow this down at some point. Well, I want to say something about Afghanistan. We're supposed to be leaving in September. And look, I don't think we should be in places forever. But I think Afghanistan is one of those places where we should keep a military force, just like we do in Korea. I mean, we've had 30,000 troops in Korea for 65 years, and we've never had any military problems. I don't think we've lost a single soldier in a military situation, that is, in Korea since 1953 when we put the troops in there. And what concerns me about Afghanistan is pulling out and having these people come back to power, which they will, and then, of course, you'll have all the potential for terrorism once again. I'm also concerned, and there was a very interesting article that came out about this, if we leave and we basically the terrorists come back in, what is that going to do to all the women and all the girls who are going to schools? I mean, one of the nice things about the United States being there is that we were able to see a lot of young women go to school and, you know, do something that they couldn't do before we came in. What's going to happen to all those schools? What's going to happen to those teachers? I don't know. But whatever happens, it's not going to be good. I can tell you that. I can tell you that. And who knows? They may be executed for going to school. You know, I guess girls and women don't do that in certain cultures. So I'm concerned about the regional impact of the United States pulling out. And, of course, from a humanitarian standpoint, I'm concerned about those little girls and those women who've been going to school. I'm also concerned for people who were helping us. Because that, I think, you know, you don't know how those people are going to be treated. And they could be executed as well and killed because they were associated with the United States, and that's a bad thing. So we got to think about all of these things when we pull out. I got to say a quick word about Governor DeSantis, who every day looks more and more like a presidential candidate. The guy is great. And he just signed into law something in Florida where they're going to teach the kids about the evils of communism. And that is a good thing, not just because of my own personal story, having fled communism, but because it is true. Communism is not good. Socialism is not good. Marxism is not good. And it's good to see that at least the kids down there are going to get a history lesson, correct history lesson, not some of the crap that they're learning in school right now. Well, on this day in history, this is one of my favorite stories of the 20th century. This is the whole story of the Berlin airlift. You know, Stalin decided to close West Berlin, and the United States over the air kept the people of Berlin and West Berlin basically supplied and fed by flying in these airplanes and dropping supplies, even candies for the kids. Those pilots later became known as the candy bombers. But what a great story, one of the great American stories of the 20th century, the Berlin airlift. And we got to give President Truman a lot of credit for that. Thank you for listening. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, and we'll talk to you later.